Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the stock man, a.k.a. broth boy number one, a.k.a. Mr. Souped Up, a.k.a. some bones about it, a.k.a. time after time, a.k.a. soupy sales, a.k.a. the bullion bandit, a.k.a. the stock pot racer, a.k.a. the bay leaf boy, a.k.a. celery stalks at midday, a.k.a. the savory steamer, a.k.a. chop it up, cook it down, a.k.a. the essence.
Wow, Jordan Morris, boy detective. This is what I like. Killing time with lots of nicknames.
Yeah, I wrote them. Took me 45 seconds at least.
Whoa, congratulations, man. That's really impressive. It's great that you're finding ways to be creative.
I love creativity, Jordan.
Me too.
Oh, there is nothing I love more than creativity. The only thing I can think of that I love more than creativity is possibly, maybe, lifelong learning. Maybe.
And apparently broth or stock. What's the why the nicknames? Explain it to us. This is another cooking adventure, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be clear. There's no payoff to this. I've just been making a lot of stock. You sure. Get a gallon Ziploc bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know the big boy. You know what I'm talking about? The big boy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. You know what I love when it comes to Ziploc bags? And I'm sorry to derail your story.
Okay, go ahead.
I love a quart. We never had quart Ziplocs around my house growing up, so I never thought to buy them. They were just never on my shopping list. But then I think I mistakenly got some quarts. These things are so useful. They're so useful. You could half a cucumber goes great in a quart.
Capacious. They're capacious, more so than a sandwich size. And
absolutely.
They're sturdy if you get the freezer style, which I do.
Sure, sure. Yeah, little label on there.
Jordan, I'm not ashamed to admit this. I purchased mine at the warehouse store.
Where?
The warehouse store.
Do people remember the warehouse?
Sorry, people who are even 3 years younger than we are.
And maybe didn't grow up in California. Was that a regional chain?
It might have been a regional chain.
Okay, what were you getting at the warehouse? You were getting, you could rent movies.
Yeah, there was a thing, the big thing was you could bring in five CDs, any five CDs, and trade them for one CD, right?
Right, yeah. So, and I think, and then you could also purchase the used CDs that people had brought in, and those were one of three CDs. It was, they were either, added up the Best of the Violent Femmes, the Romeo plus Juliet soundtrack, and of course the Jerky Boys. This is all the warehouse sold.
Yeah. There was a warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and their slogan was, where? The warehouse.
Yeah.
So
there was a warehouse, and I know this. It was like a discount warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I know this because...
Like a Nordstrom Rack situation? Like you could buy copies of the Romeo plus Juliet soundtrack that were slightly irregular?
Or the Jerky Boys solo albums.
Right, they're in the rights. When the Jerky Boys broke off like Kiss to make solo albums.
They were less good without the makeup. But
I don't know enough about either to continue this riff.
I had a girlfriend in high school whose parents had significant mental health issues. I'm not having a laugh at their expense. It was quite difficult for her and her family. But her father was a bit of a hoarder. Mm-hmm. And he would come home with 99-cent VHS tapes from the warehouse.
Right.
I don't remember what it might have literally been called the warehouse. And just every wall in the corridor was lined with VHS tapes. And on the one hand, I didn't have to live there, so easy access to pretty much every VHS tape. Whether it was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade or The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
And if I'm, you know, knowing the warehouse and the era, you probably also had more than one copy of that video where all the cartoon characters teamed up to tell you not to do drugs.
Yes, exactly. So many. So anyway, I have one of these gallon Ziploc bags.
Right.
And I keep it in my freezer. And then when I have trimmings, I put the trimmings in there. And when there's bonzos, I put those in there. And when it's full, I put that in the stock pot and boil it off, baby.
Man, that sounds amazing. What are you using the stock for? To thicken up a chili?
Or thin a chili, I would say, probably. You're probably going to want to use masa to thicken a chili.
Mm.
I'm using it for everything. Here's the secret, Jordan. You get yourself some of these, again, I hate to use this as a platform for marketing, but it's a product I believe in. You get yourself some of these semi-disposable Gladware Tupperwares.
Oh, yeah. Those are great. Probably not great for the environment, but man, oh, man, are those convenient.
Yeah, I love breaking one and not feeling bad about it. It's just the greatest feeling in the world. Like, yeah. Well, it only cost me a quarter and I used it 10 times.
Yeah, sure. Did I forget about the tahini 2 months ago? Is the grossness of washing this going to be more than 25 cents worth of grossness?
Exactly. I got a few at Big Lots the other day. I was feeling great. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll take the stock. I'll fill up some of those, you know, pack them up, put them in the back of the freezer. That way, it's always ready when I need to make soup or anything else stock heavy. And then, get a load of this, Jordan. Here's a life pro tip.
I won't. I'm full. I don't have room.
Don't you dare refuse me, Jordan. I have an extra ice cube tray, a third ice cube tray into which I pour stock so that I've always got stock if I need to deglaze a pan.
Or if you want to make yourself a nice beefy cocktail at the end of the night.
Oh, God. A gin and beef?
Little gin, little tonic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beef eater gin, beefy ice cubes.
Our guest on this week's Jordan Jesse Go is a beloved stand-up comic. He's got a brand new record called Mike Kaplan, a.k.a. Please welcome Mr. Mike Kaplan. Hi, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me. And now I have so much to say about so many things that you've been sharing. Like, number one, if you asked me what they sell at the warehouse store, I would have immediately guessed warehouses. You know, I don't know why would you call your store that, you know?
Right.
You go down to the record store, what do they have there? You know, like, they have records at the warehouse store? Do they have warehouses at the record store? You know, so we're having fun already. And
Mike, hold on.
I couldn't agree more. I'm having a blast.
Yes.
Wait until you hear this, Mike. It was spelled W-H-E-R-E.
Oh, no. Oh, well, that
all one
changes.
Word, W-H-E-R-E-H-O-U-S-E. So one can only presume it sold wares.
This changes everything for me. I retract all of my previous, I don't know if it was snark. I think it was just fun, but I'll just take this time to do one final joke about it and say that, I thought it was actually a man that turned into a house just once a month, you know, just he was a warehouse.
Warehouse.
Got it.
Sure.
I'll take my indignation off record, but mic, off air. I don't know how things work.
It's a podcast. You can't hear the listeners boo.
But this is a more sincere thing that I want to share that I appreciate is now we've interacted before, but we have not planned what I'm about to say. And I know that whenever I see like a magician talking to a person in the audience who I don't know, and they say, now we've never met. And the person confirms that. I'm like, well, if they had met and this was set up, that's also what they would say. So
the point here is this isn't carefully planned
and
perfectly crafted. accepted, like my list of nicknames earlier.
No, but it's what I'm about to say is 100% about your list of nicknames. So I think for sure, if we were trying to throw people off the case, like, I don't know what people believe anymore. I just want to say thank you for just repeating the title of my album over and over in between each one of your nicknames, AKA, 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 AKA. That is the name. My name, Mike Kaplan, is, of course, on the album cover. That is the artist who has created the album, AKA. It is certainly confusing in a way, because usually, as you did, the name will then be followed by AKA and then another name. However, in this case, the name AKA is itself an AKA for the original title of the album, which is what AKA stands for, AKA All Killing Aside, which we decided not to call it in these times for reasons that, without the context that the album is about kindness, compassion, love, and not murdering, people might be like, All Killing Aside? Why are you putting aside, like, in this time of suffering and uncertainty and disease and death? Like, what? Is this like that old joke about, like, Mrs. Lincoln, other than that, how was the play? Like, so that's why I talked to my mom and she said, how about All Kidding Aside? That would be a nice name. And I'm like, that does take some of the kidding aside. So that's why we went with AKA. It stands for all the things that we want. The thing all killing aside, all kidding aside, also known as, it's also my name, Mike Kaplan, and AKA. And I do apologize for doing this sort of ask me anything about my name given Michael Adam Kaplan. This has been an AKA, MAKA, AMA. The album comes out the 8th of May. Thank you so much for having me. Is that how to podcast?
No. But it's already done.
I thank you so much for having me.
There's two albums we just want to make sure our listeners check out. One, of course, AKA, from the very hilarious Mike Kaplan. I actually checked out some of the preview tracks on Apple Music today, and I thought they were very funny. I can only imagine that the whole album is as funny, if not funnier. So yeah, check out that. And then, of course, the soundtrack to Romeo plus Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's tawdry reimagining of the classic with music from the Cardigans and others.
Oh yeah, that.
Let's say Silverchair.
Can I tell you that that song? I think the one in there by the Cardigans, is it the "Love Me, Love Me" like their famous song, or whatever? Ooh, whatever that song was.
Yeah, I this was kind of in the era of soundtracks where you put out a CD that was like music inspired by the movie, and it was just someone's like B-side or something like that. So I would guess it was probably not the hit, but I could be wrong.
500 Miles I'm Gonna Be by the Proclaimers, plus an Aaliyah B-side, were the anchors of any soundtrack album. Possibly a ballad by Aerosmith, a new ballad by Aerosmith.
Yeah, maybe something peppy by Seal. Uh-huh. It was one of Seal's peppier tracks.
Did he have any peppy tracks? Is that?
Have you ever heard the album Seal's Roller Disco Party?
Does it have only the two songs that I know on it, "Kiss from a Rose" and whatever the other one is?
Those in "Bounce Rock Skate." Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Seal's Roller Disco Party also doubles as the soundtrack to The Faculty, starring Jordana Brewster.
Famke Janssen?
I don't know Famke Janssen. Oh, I think Famke Janssen is in The Faculty.
Oh, I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. The Faculty.
The Faculty, starring Famke.
Yes.
Famke's in The Faculty.
My favorite movie of the time was probably Meet the Famkes.
Right.
Is that anything? Right. Is that something?
I think it is. I think it's
What's
something.
What's a podcast?
I just want to say, like, sincerely, though, it is an honor to be playing the part of Mike Kaplan, a.k.a. Go, on this podcast.
Right.
Jordy,
you are the Go. Yeah. So, Mike, if you don't remember The Warehouse.
No.
But I think you were about our age. When you were a kid, where did you go for, like, you know, movies and music and other like teenager stuff?
Let's see. I grew up in New Jersey. I would I would go to KB Toys for toys.
Oh, yeah.
I would go to...
What are we talking here, Mike? When you're going to KB Toys, are you getting... is it a Ninja Turtle?
I certainly had many Ninja Turtles. I did not have GAC. I wasn't a big slime fan. I would take like a toy of Slimer from the Ghostbusters, but that toy was not itself slimy. No, only a visual representation thereof. Right. I had a lot of the Secret Wars Marvel action figures. Bunch of those. Your Spider. They all had shields. That was a weird thing. Like Captain America had a shield, and also Baron Zemo and Spider-Man and Wolverine. Why doesn't everyone? It was like a secret decoder thing in the shield, so it wasn't even his real shield. I guess thanks for having me on your shield podcast. And I love mostly action figures that my mother would not let me have any with guns. So I got any G.I. Joes, she'd throw away the guns. They could only go on diplomatic missions. I had
you bought that from their special United Nations Security Forces subset.
Yes, just coming in to check and see if you guys are maintaining the guidelines of the treaty that you signed. So
I guess, you know, roadblock and snake eyes could also maybe like help with irrigation, you know, in some countries that have trouble getting clean water, you know?
Yeah, they say that knowing is half the battle, and that's the half that we focused on in my household.
Not the battle part.
Oh, yeah, the other half of the battle, which is death and destruction.
But who needs that?
Not me. Not the Kaplan household.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess you just want the part of the G.I. Joes where you convince kids not to huff paint or play around in old refrigerators that they find.
Yeah, we also had some Thundercats.
Thundercats were fun.
They just had, like, you know, swords and nunchucks, things that they're totally fine for kids to play with. So, as a kid, it all seemed like fantasy. You know, I was like, guns, that's not real. Swords, like, I wasn't going to get a sword or a gun, and I'm glad. But I assume to my adult parents, they were like, a gun is a thing that could happen, and nunchucks, you have to really work at to end up in trouble with.
Boy, we really grew up in a golden age of nunchucks, didn't we? Every entertainment property featured a nunchuck character or a nunchucks. Do kids today even know what... Jesse, do your kids know what nunchucks are? Do they want nunchucks? Are they talking about them? In your opinion, what's modern kids' level of awareness re nunchucks?
I mean, if they know about nunchucks, it's only because I have been showing them classic entertainment from the 1980s and early 1990s. Right. Or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Bloodsport starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Coming to America. Benny and June.
Are there nunchucks in Benny and June?
No, I'm just listing things from the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, okay.
Benny and June might be from the mid-90s, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I really don't think that they know what nunchucks are, and I don't think they know what ninja stars are, which is was another really central cultural weapon. I mean, I've talked about this on the show before. It was probably years ago now, but in the neighborhood I grew up in, the Mission District in San Francisco, on Mission Street, and it was something where I thought it was maybe just a dream I had had as a child, but then a few people who were from the neighborhood verified it later to me on Twitter or something. There was a ninja store. There was a store that sold ninja equipment, and it, in the front window was like a giant, like a halberd, and throwing stars and nunchucks.
Oh, yeah.
And that and the wig store were the most compelling but also terrifying stores in the entire neighborhood. Like in the world of my neighborhood that was also kind of a fantastical world when I was a child, the most vivid places to me are those two places. And I never went into either of them. In fact, in middle school, the girl that I guess subway pooled with, we took the subway from school together because we were 12 or whatever. She wanted to go in the wig store and I refused because I was afraid. I had the same feeling about the ninja store. Like, never open, the door always closed, and I just felt like if I went in there and I wasn't a real ninja, I was cruising for a bruising.
Sure, yeah. You'd never see it coming either.
No, absolutely
just be a poison
not.
Dart, a poison dart to the side of the neck. You'd just slap it really quick, and then you'd keel over.
You know those kind of flat-soled shoes with toes?
Right.
Not, I mean, just two toes, like a frog's foot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Those kind of ninja shoes?
I was friends, one of my best friends growing up was a very mild-mannered kid named Mike Nguyen, and he was just a sweet nerd. He loved Star Wars. He loved Warcraft, like not World, but, you know, the original Warcraft, where it was a turn-based strategy game. But he had a butterfly knife, and he was not a trouble kid. I never knew him to like do drugs or anything, but like he just had a butterfly knife and could casually take it out and flip it around. It was and I was never worried that Mike Nguyen was going to do anything because he was such a sweetie, but,
he brought his butterfly knife to school.
Oh, no.
It was a different time.
Yeah. No, I don't think he ever had it at school, but just when I would like go over to his house to play video games, he would like casually break out a butterfly knife.
Man, you know, the kid who went to my elementary school who had both a Nintendo and a Sega Master System, Tony McCauley, the one who, I mean, this kid was serious. He had his birthday party at Pizza and Pipes. A pipe organ themed pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
That guy had a real black belt in karate.
Wow.
And the same thing. Very mild mannered kid. We were 10 years old. 9, 10 years old. He had a real black belt in karate. And if you asked him to do karate moves, he could do them.
Do you think he could do that thing where you put your thumbs in someone's eyes and then the eyes come out?
Oh, no. Oh,
I think he probably could have. And besides that, he also got those bears, those little koala bears that were full of chocolate in his lunch. Man. You know those bears?
Oh, yeah. Koala yummies.
Yeah.
Here's my theory on a couple of these things. Perhaps the reason he was so mild-mannered is he was able to get all of his aggression out at the dojo that perhaps before karate entered his life, his parents were like, he's kicking stuff in the house and hurting both our furniture and his foot. Where can we direct this energy? Tiger Shulman, I hope. I don't know if that's a nationwide thing, but that's a guy who, are you familiar with Tiger Shulman?
Not in the slightest.
No. He sounds like someone you would fight late in the game and punch out.
Exactly. So he had a bunch of karate places around, at least the Northeast. So whatever, put your equivalent in their Little League karate places. And similar to, I assume that Mr. Nguyen, I assume he got it because he liked butterflies. And he's like, I'll get anything that has butterfly in the name. And then, you know.
Oh, right. Sure. He has a Lisa Frank sticker book.
Exactly. You got to catch them all the butterflies. And
all the butterflies.
And I presume so he has this butterfly knife and he's not like into drugs. He's not doing these other things. That's a good,
no,
that's good.
A sweetie.
If you've got that knife, you don't want to mix that with drugs.
Other than having a butterfly knife, the only other thing Mike Nguyen did that was even remotely tough or dangerous was have Double Dragon 2, the Double Dragon game, where it was a little bit confusing because one button attacked right and one button attacked left.
Oh, that is confusing.
Yeah, it was a little confusing. They tried to mix it up, but, you know, I think in subsequent games they went back to the original formula.
Let's get one button to punch and one button to kick. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you just attack whichever way you're facing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
God, now that I'm remembering this kid, he also had Zippo lighters.
Holy shit!
Maybe he was trouble. We never did anything bad together.
Oh my God.
Maybe you were a good influence. Maybe every time you went over there, he started playing with the knife, but he was like, you know, maybe I won't bring out the fire today, and maybe, you know, your influence...
Yeah.
Over the course of time.
He showed me them. He wasn't like threatening me with them. He just like took them out and showed me a Zippo, and then he showed me a butterfly knife and did the thing where you like flip out the knife and flip it around, and I thought it was very cool. And then we just did something quiet and nerdy together.
Can I ask you a question, Jordan?
Yes.
Did you ever wonder why his room had so many blackened spoons and lengths of surgical tubing?
I figured he was crafty.
Do you know, I had, to get back to the original source of why I think this topic came up, I had nunchucks that were like Nerf, I think. So.
Whoa, Nerf chucks.
Exactly.
I mean, I bet that's great for like practicing, you know? You don't want to like just give a kid, I don't know what a typical nunchuck is made of. Is it wood or steel or something? But yeah, you want to give them a practice chuck.
These things, they would still hurt. There was something in them and it would hurt if you hit yourself. So, but not, you know. You are okay. I'm okay, and I certainly hit myself a lot.
I have to admit that when you said that you had many Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and many Thundercats, I became insanely jealous.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I had two Masters of the Universe, both of which
were mecha neck.
One of them was
the guy with the robotic neck.
One of them was mecha neck, and the other one was Mossman.
Was one actually Mechaneck?
Yes.
Really? Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. That is like an all-time lame character.
So here's the thing.
I don't know. I don't mean to. Maybe Mechaneck. I don't mean to slag off.
No,
Mechaneck,
I mean
Jesse. If it was,
I didn't mind doing it over and over, making him extend his neck, and I liked the distinctive smell of Mossman.
I like that guy too. I had no Masters of the Universe. I only played with them at other people's homes. I particularly loved the battle damage He-Man. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's really good. It would was like a button you could press, and his chest would spin around horrifyingly to reveal scarification. Both of the Masters of the Universe that I had, I got when my dad had to work at his friend and colleague Ed's house in Oakland. And we would take the BART to Oakland, and near Ed's house, there was a used toy store. So I got to choose a used toy. And so those were like the only franchise toys I had, other than some Star Wars toys that were like hand-me-downs from my dad's girlfriend's son, who was older than me. And my neighbor, Gus Iverson, he had, rumor was, I think I heard it from him, he had every Master of the Universe, every single He-Man, and She-Ra for that matter, and Castle Grayskull, everything.
Whoa. Mike, what was your like coveted toy as a kid? Was there ever something you wanted but never were able to get your hands on?
You know, the answer is probably yes, but it hasn't stayed with me to this day. I will say that I certainly didn't have complete sets of everything. In fact, I would set up like different, there's a friend of mine who had a joke about having like mismatched sets of toys. His name is Abe Smith, I think. I know his name was Abe Smith. I believe this was his joke, he's like, oh, I'll get you, Wonder Woman. Oh no, Roger Clemens. And so that was like what was literally going on, figuratively going on in my living room. I would set up like the Ewok village and like a Transformer city that transformed into like a giant city. It was like almost my size, but then it was a city and like a Dungeons and Dragons dungeon.
Oh shit, that sounds fucking rad.
It was, and I would like connect them with like blocks, you know, like just like wooden blocks and Lego things. And I would like sometimes lose my, I was like, where'd my Karate Kid guy go? And I was like, oh, he's over here. A month later, I thought someone stole him from my home when I was the only person who was ever touching these toys. But I think I coveted just, you know, I became a completist in ways that I'm still now being like, oh, well, I can't do everything of any. Like, I can't watch all the great movies. I can't listen to all the podcasts. I can't read all of the recommended books. And so I'm like learning to let that go. But at the time, I was a blossoming completist. And I was like, I just would covet any complete, I would like any full set of something instead of this mismatch.
Were you ever able to complete something?
You know, I mean, I think I eventually started reading comic books, and for sure, I would love to start at the beginning of a series and then just, there's one series of comic that I have read pretty much, I think, every issue from 1992 on.
Firestorm to this day. Man.
can I guess?
You may guess.
Savage Dragon?
That's 100% correct.
That was going to be my guess. That was my real guess, and then I decided to say the thing. Holy cow.
1992. I remember going to get the first Savage Dragon.
Me too. I'm not
it was
even
a big deal.
I'm a small level comic book guy, and I totally, that was my favorite Spider-Man guy, and then he started his own thing, and I'm like, this is my favorite Spider-Man guy. I'm going to get his new thing.
So wait, so Mike, have you can because that's like that has some sort of distinction as being the like one of the longest running comics in publication that's like not Superman. Do you still read it?
These days I don't go. I think my comic store in Brooklyn stopped carrying the individual episodes. Like maybe
shout them out. They're listening.
Galaxy.
I fucking guarantee it.
Galaxy Collectibles. I love you, and I understand that not a lot of people were buying Savage Dragon individual comics, and so at a certain point, I did switch to just the trades, or you know, downloading the equivalent of the trades when they've come out. But yeah, I have. So there's probably a few. The most recent episodes, I haven't, but I will get them. I will keep up. But yeah, we've read hundreds of episodes of issues, I
could
guess.
Could you summarize what's happened since 1993 for me?
Oh, sure.
Does he still face off with Prime every now and then?
You know, I mean, one thing that I do love about it is that the characters age in basically real time. So now the main character is Dragon's son, who was born almost two decades ago.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, I really
like.
This
is like for better or for worse.
100%. I love. They were kids, then they were adults, and they had their own kids. It's like, it really is like the anti, like almost every other, you know, okay, Superman can die, but he comes back. He's Superman.
Sure.
Batman, his back's broken. Okay, but he's back. There's another guy, but it's Batman. Don't worry, everybody. It's Batman. But it's really nice to age and then see like there's a quote I like from a poet named Robert Haas, I believe his name is. He says, repetition makes us feel secure. Variation makes us feel free. So it's nice to have the variation of the aging characters having new experiences, not fighting the same villains over and over again, with the kind of repetition, the solidarity with our own lived experience.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I agree.
That's a really beautiful musing on the influence of the Savage Dragon.
That's why I love Savage Dragon, the comic book where people punch each other and boobs are very large.
Yeah, I mean, it's the famous comic book written by my favorite Spider-Man guy.
Are you not saying his name for a reason? Is that...
Don't remember what it was.
Oh, it's Eric. Eric Larson, of course.
Eric with a K.
Does he still write it?
That is, I think, the thing that is the distinction about Savage Dragon is that he has, from the beginning, been the only writer. There was, in fact, one issue where all of the Image Comics guys traded, and like Eric Larson wrote maybe Spawn or something, and somebody, maybe Jim Lee, wrote a Savage Dragon number 13. But then Eric Larson was like, I want to write all of them. So he wrote his own number 13. So even with those constraints, he has written all... He's been the only one. It's his thing.
He should go into comic books.
Yeah.
That's funny. Talking about like kind of, you know, going back and forth between whether or not you want to read the trades or the single issues. That is definitely something that I periodically tell myself I'm going to kick, like buying single issue comics. And like, because, you know, they're so expensive. They're like... You know, it's so much space. It just, you know, if there's a pile of them, it just makes you look unfuckable. I don't care how positive we're being about nerd stuff as a culture. A pile of floppy fucking comics makes you look unfuckable if they are
Jordan,
on your coffee table.
I bought one for my son Oscar a few months ago that I just saw on the coffee table. It's a Garfield comic book.
No, yeah.
He chose it. He was allowed to choose anything. Shout out to Secret Headquarters in Silver Lake, California, where I got recognized one time. And I picked up this Garfield comic. I mean, it's a Garfield comic book. You know what I mean? It's for 6-year-olds.
Is it collected strips or is it a like a longer Garfield adventure?
It's a Garfield adventure story.
Mm-hmm.
It is a comic book. It is not a. It's not a graphic. It's not a collection. It's not a soft cover book. It's a comic.
Yeah.
And it was $8. I was like, whoa. I gave them $8 for fucking Garfield. I had no idea when I bought it.
It's a crossover event. Crisis on Infinite Girth. He's fat.
It did have a hologram cover of a lasagna.
Well, there you go.
Oh my god. I had a book. I don't even know how to describe this Garfield book to people if you don't know what it is, but it was called like Garfield's Nine Lives.
It wasn't pornographic per se.
No.
It was an erotic thriller.
It was.
Is this the thing that got made into the like famously like depressing miniseries or movie of the week or something like that?
Maybe. I don't know about that part, but there was just nine lives that, as you understand, cats have, and so Garfield being a cat, this applies to him. And like the first one, he's like a cave person cat, and then at some point he's like a Viking, and at some point he's in the future. But there was one that was like really scary, and it was like drawn not like Garfield. It was like very realistic, and this cat like attacks an old lady, and that's the end of that life. And I don't know. I mean, that was the end of the story, and I guess maybe the lady fed him, so now, you know, he doesn't get that anymore after he eats her body, if that's what he does. Mm. But who can say? That was where the story ended in that part for me. Maybe I just threw it across the room in horror, but I haven't even thought about that in so long, but I've never met anyone else that I know that who's like, I also read that. I'm like, did only one copy get made? So anyone out there, Garfield's Nine Lives.
I remember that. I'm confirming it for you.
Oh,
I remember
thank
it.
You,
I did not own it myself, but I definitely read some of it at a friend's house.
Mm.
Jesse, did you page through your son's Garfield adventure? Do you like what's Garfield up to these days? Is it still Monday's lasagna Odie, or is he
it was
dabbing?
A complicated it was a sort of the player style Hollywood satire.
Oh. Cool.
And it was written by a guy who was on my public radio show once.
Wow.
Named Mark Evanier, or Evanier. I can't remember if the R is pronounced, but I think he wrote a book about Jack Kirby or something like that. This was 15 years ago. And he was on the show. And I remember him being a very nice guy who was exactly like the guy that you would expect would write a book about Jack Kirby. You know what I mean? Like a very committed comic book guy. And, but I liked him. I remember liking him and thinking he was a lot of fun. And I recognized his name and I'm like, huh. So he's writing show business satire Garfield comics now. There's a lot of different jobs. The world has a lot of different jobs.
Find your niche and fill it, you know? If you see something that's not in the world that you wish were there, just that's your place.
He's bringing the spirit of Jack Kirby to the Garfield universe.
That's
right. It's a little trippy, maybe inspired by experimenting with LSD.
There's a race of godlike space lasagnas that rule over the...
Sure.
Well, now I don't even know if you're joking anymore. Can I tell you guys, do you guys know Tony V, the comedian from Boston?
No.
No, sir.
He's a wonderful, delightful, hilarious man who has this, I don't know if he's still telling it, but years ago he had a joke about Garfield and he was like, you've never laughed at it, but it comes out every day. And he's like, I just want to know if Jim Davis, the creator, is like, yeah, man, they keep sending the checks, so I'll keep cashing them. And yeah, he likes lasagna again. Who cares? Or if he's like, Davis, you're a genius. Every day you're met with three blank panels, and every day you give them gold. And it resonated with me so much when I heard him tell, I was like, that's how I feel about Garfield. I read it so much when
he
I was
He said
younger.
What we were all thinking about
right.
Garfield.
Right. And then Garfield thought what we were all saying.
Oh, boy. I do love that you're familiar with Garfield minus Garfield.
Oh, sure, yes.
Sure.
They take Garfield out of the comic, and it's just John talking to himself, and it looks like someone who is having a nervous breakdown.
It's existential dread. And what I love about it more, I love it, but I also love that Jim Davis gave them his blessing.
Yeah. I think if I was to guess, I would guess that Jim Davis, I don't know anything about the man. He could be wonderful, but I bet he is a craven money monster.
Oh,
Just because there's so much Garfield stuff, you know, it's like you hear stories of Bill Watterson wouldn't license Calvin and Hobbes because that would break the reality of whether Hobbes was real or not, you know. And I guess I would think that Jim Davis is just rolling around in a money pile. Not that he doesn't deserve the money pile. Not that I would guess that. If Jim Davis got a cut of Garfield minus Garfield, he was probably on board for it.
My daughter is unreasonably obsessed with Calvin and Hobbes, which is fine because Calvin and Hobbes is exceptionally good.
Great. Yeah, I think Calvin. Yeah, I really think every kid should have a little Calvin and Hobbes period, right? That's good for you.
Every adult, if you missed it as a kid, it's one of the things that I would say is on my like life syllabus for everyone. And there's not a lot of things on it.
Yeah.
So I watched a documentary about the creator of Calvin and Hobbes with my daughter, but he did not agree to appear in the film. And there are all these scenes with the people who ran his syndicate talking about how important it is and so on and so forth. And then they get to the parts about like making merchandise or running it in a different order or at a different different shape or size on the comics page, which is another thing he refused to do, and you can just see these poor sweet men who have dedicated their lives to comic strips in the newspaper, like these just real high and lowest lovers or whatever that strip is called. Sweet 70-year-old men, you know what I mean? Just trying to think of how they can say, this asshole cost me my retirement without being mean because it's a documentary. Like, they obviously also love the comic strip because they love the comic strips, but they're just like,
how about some t-shirts?
Just make one plush Hobbs and we all get boats. And he wrote, the creator of Calvin and Hobbes wrote these introductions to the books, and I don't know how many people have like looked at them recently or as adults. You know, there may be some of our listeners who were adults at the time and saw them then, but like I think for people our age who were eight, it would have just floated right past you. But at least one of them just has like an anti-commercialism screed at the beginning that I read recently, you know, 6 months ago, and I was like, whoa, this is, I mean, I'm anti-commercialist myself in many ways. But I was like, this is fucking intense. This is like Unabomber shit. Like, it was truly astonishing the different stuff that pissed him off.
Oh, so that's why Calvin was peeing on all those car logos.
Exactly.
Now I see. Okay.
He's like, I won't make toys, I won't make calendars, and I won't drive a goddamn Chevy.
Wow.
But there's a part in the documentary where Berkeley breathed the creator of Bloom County. Talks about his longtime friendship with the creator of Calvin and Hobbes, which involved them writing each other letters. But when he's describing the letters that the Calvin and Hobbes guy would write to him, they were all just beefs that he had with Bloom County. Oh. Like shit that pissed him off about Bloom County. And it's the same thing. He's like talking about it very fondly. And you're like, are you sure this man was your friend?
I mean, if I may, having no experience, having read any of these letters, seen the documentary, read that introduction, let me be generous to old Mr. Watterson. Like, he didn't have to write to him at all. You know, he was offering by, you know, he was being a friend, perhaps the only way that he knew how. You know, like one time, I think I saw like a story about like, I mean, Letterman talking to like Bob Dylan about how they're like, at our level of like the number of people that know us, like we're the only two people, like we're some of the only people who can have this conversation about what it's like to be us. And so Bill Watterson, even if he did hate everything that happened in Bloom County, he's like, but this is my brother and I need him.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hey gang, I just wanted to break in here for a second and remind you that I am going to be doing a live Twitch stream watch along with the gang from Max Fun's movie podcast, Who Shot Ya? We're going to be watching The Avengers on May 16th at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's Saturday, May 16th at 1 p.m. We're going to be watching The Avengers, and I cannot wait. The gang from Who Shot Ya is so funny, so cool, so film literate. I think it's going to be a real blast. That's going to be happening at twitch.tv/ifdeez, 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 live Avengers watch along with the gang from Who Shot Ya, 1 p.m. on May 16th. See you then.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the stock man.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Mike, no nickname, Kaplan.
So what you do, Jordan, is you save your celery stalks.
Right.
You save your carrot trimmings. You save your you know, a quarter of an onion that you didn't need. You save your bones. You save your trimmings. You toss them all in that bag. And then when it's time, you put them in the slow cooker. You put them in a big stock pot on the stove all day. Glug, 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 glug. Stock for days, baby.
Sounds like fun.
It's a lot of fun. Jordan, I have been continuing to read my copy of Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, for your benefit, I bought a copy of Grimm's Fairy Tales, and it is, as it turns out, quite grim.
Oh.
I'm ready to repeat my signature repeating segment, which I forgot what I called it before, but now I'm going to call it Jesse's Fairy Tales.
Mm.
It's selections from Grimm's Fairy Tales. So first I'm just going to read you guys just one quick paragraph from Fairy Tale number 51, which is called The Foundling. It's about a little boy who gets carried away by an eagle. Or a hawk, excuse me. Ooh. And then a forester finds him and brings him home to live with his daughter. And then there's an evil witch and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the guy and his, the kid, the foundling and his, and the daughter, their brother and sister, and they have magic powers to transform into things. And they're trying to get away from the witch.
Yeah. Sounds like this makes sense.
Yeah, this is just the final paragraph of the story. So you skip all the bullshit, get straight to the lesson. Here. When the cook arrived and saw the pond, she lay down beside it and began to drink it up. However, the duck quickly swam over, grabbed her head in its beak, and dragged her into the water. The old witch was thus drowned, and the children went home together. They were very happy, and if they have not died, they are still alive.
Oh, ain't that the truth? Ain't it the truth?
classic lesson.
Yeah.
If they haven't died, they're still alive.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and I haven't died, I'm still alive.
I want to add that if you're listening to this podcast and I have died, I'm still alive.
Whoa. Oh,
wow.
Shit, dude.
Super spooky.
Fucking cat in the box with the Atom, right?
Well, you know, anytime I'm trying to kill a witch, guys, and mm-hmm. this is just good like life hack yeah. style advice for anybody in our audience. I turn into a duck and I get my sister to turn into a pond.
Yep.
And then when that witch comes, I fucking grab that bitch with my duck beak and pull her into the water and drown her.
It seems like now, you know, like with kids entertainment, like there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of kind of like nuanced lessons, you know, that you're trying to get across, yeah. you know, like sometimes it's okay to be sad and, embrace diversity. But it feels like back then it was just stay out of the woods. Don't go in the woods. That's how a kid dies, is they go in the woods. So don't go. Like it just is all about keeping kids in the house and out of the woods. Like there's no time to talk about
also,
like, you know, we all experience emotions differently. It's just like, get out of the woods.
There's also a broader message, and this is one that I think is better conveyed in today's mm-hmm. children's entertainment, which is some women are perfectly virtuous, but most are evil.
Sure. Yeah. And some are secretly a pond.
This one, there's just one more little selection from the next one. I mean, this is the same page. This is from number 52 that I liked because I thought, you know, roast battles are big.
Sure.
These days.
Yeah.
Real quick.
I mean,
just,
Mike, you're...
I'm a comedian. I would love to talk about roast battles, but are you saying that the chapter, one story ended and then the next one starts on the same, they don't even go to the next page? Or it's on the same...
Yeah, same page, baby. What? Some of these things are a paragraph long.
Okay. That's fair then. Yes, but sorry.
So, you know.
You love roast battles. I'm a comedian. Please
yeah,
continue.
So you're a comedian. You know about this phenomenon of sweeping the nation, roast battles. Anyway, what I feel like... is this king's daughter in this story? She might have a future in roast battles. Ooh. I think you guys are going to learn what I mean by this when I read this little selection from this.
If we don't learn it, then we'll ask some more questions.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the king wants to marry off his daughter, so he lines all the prospective suitors up and just marches them on past. This is something that we've all done at our debutantes balls, at our senior proms.
Right.
It's super foxy babe, and you just line up, go, eh? And she goes, mm-hmm, or mm-mm. And that's how you know whether you're married or not.
Mm.
So anyway, the king's daughter was conducted down the line, and she found fault with each one of the suitors there. One was too fat for her. That wine barrel, she said. Another was too tall. Tall and thin, he looks like a pin. The third was too short. Short and fat, built like a vat.
Oh, wow.
Fourth one was too pale. He resembles death.
Well, I think Jeff Ross has been nicking some of these.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy, this is a scandal. This is a real scandal that's going to rock the comedy world.
I know what you're thinking. He resembles death.
Sure.
I know. Short and fat. He's built like a vat.
Mm.
Some of them rhyme, others don't. The fifth was too red. What a rooster.
Whoa.
The sixth that did not stand straight enough. Green wood dried behind the stove. I think that's the ultimate burn.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Ouch.
You know what I mean?
That's a real...
There was not a single man whom she did not criticize, but she made the most fun of a good king who stood at the head of the line and had a chin that was a bit crooked. My goodness, she exclaimed and laughed. He's got a chin like a thrush's beak. From then on, everybody called him Thrushbeard.
Wow, this is, I mean, you know.
Oh, honestly, that's fucked up.
Dating's hard. It hasn't changed that much.
Brian, Please drop in some air horns.
Right. I think that's what Grimm's fairy tales were missing. It's air horns.
Oh, snap.
And a hype man.
Had a crooked chin, so they all called him King Thrushbeard.
It seems disrespectful to call a king that.
Also, that name sounds fine to me. I guess I'm not of the time. I don't really know the customs, but sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Sounds like a fun pirate who likes birds, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't thrush some kind of genital infection?
Oh.
I was going to say it sounds like a psychobilly band. Like a rockabilly band that plays really fast and they're kind of goth.
Not a nardcore band?
No, that's thinking of Ill Repute.
Okay, thank you.
I looked that up. I guess in Oxnard, there is an Ill Repute Day. Like, it is Ill Repute Day in Oxnard once a year. Because they're so proud of the adventures of the Nardcore sound.
Can I ask you like a really serious question?
Yeah, sure. Go for it. Yeah, we can do one.
What type of hardcore music comes from Ontario, California?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that there are any famous hardcore bands from Ontario.
Pomonecore?
Pomonecore.
Pomonecore.
Okay. Like the Pomones?
Oh, all right, Joey Pomone, Marky Pomone.
I want to say that I was just sort of dipping my toe in because I'm like, I don't think I have enough of the real information or joke information to fully die. I'm like, how deep is this pool? But I'm glad that something worked out okay.
Gonna be honest, Mike, you've really showed us on this podcast why you're a comedian. Not in the sense that you're the funniest guy we've ever talked to, though you've been very funny, Mike.
I appreciate it.
Just in the sense that it's very clear that your almost compulsive need to turn any utterance into a semi-pun would either result in a career as a comedian or like a 5,000-page diary of like insanely scrawled notes, Henry Darger style, that they find in your garage after you die.
Can't it be both?
When something momentous happens to you, our listener, we ask you to call us for our segment, Momentous Occasions. Some momentous things have happened to our listeners lately. Here's the first one.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and remotely connected guest who may or may not be a construction of the Matrix. My momentous occasion is that I was recently furloughed, and so I am driving all the way across the country to stay with my 89-year-old grandmother who lives alone. I've been driving nonstop for 21 hours, except for brief breaks to gas up and pee in the middle of the woods in order to prevent coronavirus transmission. And as I drive through the wee hours of the morning, I've been listening to Jordan Jesse Go, which is the perfect mix of energetic nonsense to keep me awake, alert, and focused on the road. Love you guys. Stay safe.
Love you too, but I do have some bad news.
My God. Stay out of the woods. Stay out of the woods. Haven't you ever read Grimm's fairy tales? Bad things happen in the woods. Don't be there. Oh, Jesus Christ. These people. Going into the woods.
The first 14 hours of this trip, she was listening to Jordan Jesse Go, but then it switched to 99% Invisible, the narrative podcast about design.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has become Jordan Jesse Go to her fever-crazed mind.
Right.
On her 17th Jolt Cola, she just started hearing Roman Mars talking about, I guess, Walton Goggins' signature vodka.
Now,
they still make Jolt Cola?
No.
Do they not? Oh.
That's another thing that happened after hour 14.
She started remanufacturing Jolt Cola?
No, she's drinking her own urine.
Oh, sure, yeah. That way she doesn't even have to go into the woods, which is better.
The madness has her pumped.
I'd like to just briefly, I know I wasn't being attacked earlier, so this is not a defense, but I sincerely didn't know if you were making the joke that there, that Pomone Corps was a group up called the Pomones that you were coming up with, that I didn't realize that in wondering I was in fact the one who was doing it. Like, I wasn't trying to, it wasn't active, it wasn't as if I was like, oh, she talked about peeing into the wee hours of the morning. Like, that would have been something that I did on purpose if I were going to, but I wouldn't do that to you. So I just wanted to let you know that all of this would be every possible joke I make will be couched in deniability.
Mike, please save it for your 5,000 page diary.
Oh, that's just, I'm just reading out of it now.
Want to take another momentous occasion call?
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Brian. Hey, I'm going to guess Danny Aiello.
Close.
This is Tyler calling from New Hampshire with an update, quarantine update. We were sitting at the dinner table, looking outside. Our neighbor was walking his dog. And we look at our neighbor, and he's like, that's weird. Is there a cat on his shoulder? We're like, okay, our neighbor's taking a walk with the dog with the cat on the shoulder, too. That's not weird. And then we realize it's our cat on his shoulder. So
wow.
this neighbor is just walking around letting cats on the shoulder perch, and our cat got off. But that was a certainly momentous occasion. Thought of you guys. Roll 'em. I love you. See you later.
This guy, hold on. This guy, hold on. This guy loved describing that. I could hear the joy in his voice, the titillation. This guy's a fucking nasty cat cuck.
Huh?
This guy loves seeing his cat with another man perching on the shoulder, getting a little under the chin. You nasty cat cuck.
Probably got a big shoulder, too.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Huge shoulder. Far bigger than the man's shoulder.
Meow. Your shoulder's too small to make me happy.
Now, here's the thing. When you started saying about the joy that you heard in his voice, I'm both glad and sorry that I didn't have the opportunity to jump in and say, like, and I felt that joy. I felt exactly what that man felt. And then you're like, and he was a cat cuck. I'm like, not exactly what he felt, but I did feel the joy. But I'm like, was the joy there the whole time, even before he knew it was his own cat? Like, if you look at across a crowded bar and you see what you don't know is a mirror, but you catch a glimpse of your own part of your own reflection, you're like, that person looks pretty, that's me. Like, he's looking at this cat, he's like, is that a cat? That is my cat. That is I mean what a fantastic, it's almost like a ghost story. Like, wait, like if he was sitting on the porch with his cat, he thought, and he's like, look at that guy with a cat, wait a minute, if he's over there, then who am I talking to?
The caller was dead the whole time.
Mike, it's okay. You don't have to be a cat cuck to think this is a fun story. You can get pleasure from it that's adjacent, you know, that's related. You're a Gerbil cuck, and we know that.
Do you know there is a cat that visit? My girlfriend and we don't have a cat, but we have a cat restaurant, kind of, where a cat visits us sometimes every day, and we feed her, and she hangs out, and then she goes away. And so we know that she does. She has a bell. She has a collar. So she has quote unquote owners somewhere out there. And I don't know how I'd feel if I saw what is as close to our cat with her other polyamorous family, her primary family.
What do you feed the cat? Do you have cat food around the house now, or are you giving her scraps?
A little piece of salami, maybe?
We did start purchasing cat food when she started visiting and seeming like she wanted it.
That's nice of you.
That's very, very sweet.
Oh, yeah. It was months ago. It was pre-quarantine initially, and then we went on a trip for a week right before sheltering in place, and then there were 6 weeks where she was gone. And then for the past week, she's been back every day.
Have you guys named her?
We call her Lady, which is short for Lady of Inverness. That's what my girlfriend likes to call her. Okay. And so I also do.
Great.
Because I like my girlfriend.
You guys want to know where I'm at, sort of, in terms of emotions and mental health right now?
Yes.
I'm trying to grow a new lettuce out of the stump of an old lettuce.
That sounds like a fun activity.
You cut off. Our friend Cristela Alonso posted a picture of her lettuce on Twitter, which is not a euphemism for anything. It's just a literal thing that happened. And I got excited, and I was just about to eat a lettuce. I mean, not straight. I made it into a salad. And if you cut a romaine lettuce like off like an inch at the base and then just put it in some water in a bowl, a new lettuce grows out of the butt of the old lettuce.
I am posting pictures of my lettuce, but it's only on my OnlyFans.
Ooh, you nasty, Jordan.
That's
you
right.
Nasty.
I'm nasty. Sure, I'm a nasty lettuce exhibitionist. I want everybody to see it. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jordan, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Mike, did you get me anything?
I got you this. Happy birthday.
Whoa. Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't know it was your birthday.
No, that's okay.
And yeah. Do you want a, what do you want? Do you want a poem?
No, you know, I think I'm good because my dentist got in touch three different ways to wish me happy birthday. Dr. George Lim not only emailed, but he also texted and then called and left a message wishing me happy birthday.
He really wants you to come back to the dentist.
Dude's thirsty, man.
You know, my girlfriend had a call with...
It's me, Dr. Lim. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday, Jordan, and remind you that there are still dentists.
Right.
Yeah.
Your dental health should still be a priority.
My girlfriend got a call from her doctor's office, and she has an appointment like in a month. And they were like, in advance, do you want to come for a teleconference before that? And she was like, wouldn't it be just better to come when I can? And they're like, you know, just to like, and, you know, the doctor's called her on the phone sometimes. She's like, yeah, the doctor calls me sometimes. Does that what he wants to do? No, like a video conference would be good. And eventually in the conversation, they were like, you know, because we can charge that to the insurance.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of people aren't coming to the doctor these days. Just, you know, if you want to see the doctor on TV, that would be really helpful to the doctor, I guess.
I thought you were just going to say that she asked why. And they said, oh, daddy lonely. You know how it is. Daddy lonely.
Sure.
I like that guess.
Yeah, it's not a bad guess. I'm a pretty good guesser.
I mean, in one way, I'd say it's the best guess. In the other way, where you're not very close to the answer, it's technically, you know, they say, like, be good or be good at it. You are not good at it, but you're good.
Yeah. But daddy lonely.
Seems like you need a dentist that calls incessantly. Have you thought about, if you're lonely, visiting Dr. George Lim? Because he will not hesitate to reach out.
We also were at the point in our mental health here at my house where we're giving children mohawks.
Mm.
Oh.
My wife conducted like what I can only describe as a 5-day psyops campaign on my 6-year-old to convince him that he wanted to have a mohawk.
Did he know what a mohawk was before?
Absolutely not.
You were like, so you can have hair here and not hair here. And he was like, why? And you were like, I'm glad you asked.
Son, you love the music of the Exploited, right?
You know the Pomones, right?
Pomones had the classic Beatles cut.
Yeah, I don't know what they look like. I just know that they're punk associated, and yeah. So are mohawks.
What's your opinion, son, on Thousand Oaks Core?
Right.
There was a point where she had to disabuse him of the notion that he was not a rock star and thus could not have one. I think
the kids wanted the mohawks.
No. They didn't. No one wanted a mohawk.
Okay.
My wife tricked my son into wanting a mohawk because she wanted to give him a mohawk.
Okay.
Which is...
By telling him that he's... Oh no, it's not, he was making excuses like, but I'm not a rock star. And she's like, oh, you don't have to be a rock star. He's like, oh, then I guess I have to have a mohawk because that was my only argument.
It goes deeper. Like, I think she told him that cool people like rock stars have them. And he said, I'm not cool. I'm not a rock star.
Good. He's not a poser.
Yeah. He didn't feel like he deserved a mohawk once she explained how good it was.
Yeah. He's not. Yeah. He knows he's not out there living the life.
And then my daughter was shaved off like the side of her head. You know what I'm talking about? You know that haircut that some people have now where just the side of the head is shaved, but the rest of the hair is there?
The Cameron Esposito?
Yeah. Yeah, our friend Emily Gordon has that haircut, I think, or at least she used to. A recent Jordan Jesse Go guest. And then my 3-year-old has sort of long, beautiful hair that he loves because he loves to pretend to be the characters from Frozen. And they have long, beautiful hair. But as soon as he heard that shaving off your hair was an option, he asked for that. And I overheard my wife saying to him, well, what about when you want to have Elsa's hair? And he said, we just put it back.
Oh, he can't argue
with that logic.
He doesn't understand.
He doesn't know how hair works. Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. Strange planets, curious technology, and a fantastic vision of the distant future. Featuring Martin Starr.
So we're going on day 14. Shuttle still hasn't come.
Aparna Nancherla.
The security system provides you with emotional security. You do the rest.
Echo Kellum.
Can you disconnect me or not?
Hari Kondabolu.
I'm staying.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jeffrey McGivern.
Could you play Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
It's The Outer Reach. Stories from beyond.
Now available for free at MaximumFun.org or anywhere you listen. La, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la. Welcome back to Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Mike. My new nickname is Gessy, but that should really be Jesse's nickname, Kaplan.
Thanks, Mike, for punching up my nickname.
Sure, Gessy Jesse.
Yeah, oh yeah, Jordan Jesse Gessy. I like it.
Well, Mike, it's been a joy to have you on Jordan Jesse Go. Your new album is called AKA. It is, I can only imagine, a nightmarish barrage of wordplay, not unlike The World Inside Your Mind.
You know, here's the thing. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate your saying that. What I do for the stand-up comedy is decide what to say in advance. So I do have an 800-page all-jokes document, not unlike the 5,000. Maybe by the end of my life, it will be a 5,000-page journal that they'll find in the cloud, not on the in the garage. But I do say things that me. This is actually the first album that I think 100% the things that I say are they're jokes that I like about things that I care about. So not only will there be the kind of nonsense that I've spewed this past hour, there will also be sense.
Oh, that's fantastic! And Mike really is a great and hilarious comic. I'm goofing here, but. Absolutely, his record is worth your time.
Yeah, the bits that I listened to, definitely, they had a lot of heart. It was definitely, I could really tell that the stuff you were saying was stuff that was important to you, and I really appreciated that. I think that was like a great quality that it had.
These are very nice, sincere things that you're saying. That now I feel bad for taking the edge out of your wonderful sort of trademark snark. Your trade snark. Look at that. Now let's get it back and. I really appreciate you having me. You're a pleasure. Thanks for everyone listening. Whoever guessed Danny Aiello, I yellow at you that you're right. So the album feels really good to listen to, and it also feels good to stop when you're done.
It's just, it, would you say it's just right in terms of amount?
Yes, I am the Goldilocks of comedy. Some is too hot, some is too cold, but I am a little girl burglar who breaks into a bear's house.
So check out Mike's new album, and after it's over, pick up Add It Up, the best of the violent femmes at the warehouse.
And remember, kids, stay out of the forest.
Sure.
Don't do what
Don't
Goldilocks
did. Don't
go into
the woods. Don't go.
Mike Kaplan is on Twitter, at Mike Kaplan. Mike is spelled M-Y-Q.
Oh, yeah.
M-Y-Q. He's also on Instagram, at M-Y-Q Kaplan. You know, if you're lucky, you might make his top five on Friendster. Wait, top six? On MySpace. I don't remember.
I think it started small, and then they got to 8 or 10, and then it was, you know, just the top. Please, please stay on MySpace.
I'm in your Sprint circle, right?
I'm your dentist, and please friend me on MySpace.
God damn it, George Lim. I'll make an appointment when I'm good and ready.
Stop by, please. Daddy lonely. Our producer is Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. You can give us a call, 206-984-4FUN. Or just send us a voice memo, jjgo@MaximumFun.org. MaximumFun.org, why, that's our website. You can find our show there. Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design, and our friends at Light in the Attic Records. What better time to buy the best of The Free Design? It will lighten the load on your heart. It is just a joyful, beautiful record, a really wonderful piece of work. Happy birthday, Jordan. I think that's it. Oh, you can follow us on Twitter, at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris, and like us on Facebook, and I hope that you will. And you know what, Jordan?
What?
I'm just going to straight up ask people a favor. If you're out there and you like Jordan Jesse Go, which you probably do because you're still listening and we're late in the credits at this point, I'm going to ask you to share Jordan Jesse Go and say something about why you like it on social media. Hashtag it JJGo. This week is Share Jordan Jesse Go week. I think Jordan Jesse Go is a good, empty podcast of nonsense for these times. And if you have found it valuable over many years or over many days, I would ask you to share it with the hashtag JJGo on Twitter, on Facebook. Take a picture of yourself enjoying it and post it on Instagram. Share the show. Put it on your Tumblr. It's probably a porno Tumblr. It's 2020. You know, it's pretty much all
yeah,
that's left.
Yeah, that's probably all that's on there these days.
You know what? Nothing wrong with that.
No,
okay?
It's a Nothing nice wrong place for pornos. Pornos of various specific pornos.
At Lynn's Ludes on Twitter, the person who follows me, one of my most loyal followers, whose Twitter account is original pornographic cartoon pictures. Why not make one about how great Jordan Jesse Go is?
Sure. Yeah, we're always, you know what I mean? Always looking to reach new audiences.
Doesn't have to be us. It could be the prank bear boning down on the penguin in the pants. Prank bear's got a penguin in his pants. How about that?
It writes itself.
There's a thing that happened on Jordan Jesse Go 12 years ago.
It's an erotic scenario that writes itself.
We love you all very much. We'll talk to you next week on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.